Welcome to Hmong Bays, building awareness and empowerment through Hmong experiences.
We are bringing you stories from all generations of our Hmong community to talk about social justice issues. I'm Cao.
And I'm John. So far on the podcast, we heard about how Hmong Americans are dealing with the impacts of historical trauma, assimilation, sexism, and racism.
These problems are not just on an individual level, but are much bigger systemic issues. They can leave the people who are most affected by them feeling like things will never change.
But members of the Hmong community are working to make a change by standing up to people in power and speaking out for those who have gone unrepresented.
And activism is nothing new for the Hmong community. In fact, my grandfather, Nyep Bo Shong, talked about coming together with other Hmong Americans to ask state officials to support General Vang Pao's release from jail. Actions like this showed that there were Hmong people excited to improve the community. But what kind of change do young people want to see in our community today?
In our episode on gender roles, Gonza Vat talked about how sexism can leave women and girls feeling like they don't matter. She wants to see more Hmong women taking a stand when they're discriminated against.
It can be hard to, like, you know, speak up to, like, a crowd and, like, talk about this. But, like, speaking up is a great decision and choice to do. People are always going to disagree. People are going to agree. But in the end of the day, you know, you want to feel good about yourself, about you speaking out and speaking up for yourself as well as a Hmong woman. You know, you're speaking up because this isn't right and this is how you feel, and people shouldn't judge because this is how you feel. And so, like, for people to speak up and take action would mean a lot to other people and how we feel and what we go through.
Do you think that men have the right to help you guys?
If a guy really respects a woman, I think he would help a Hmong girl speak up, because he wouldn't want the girl to go through a hard time, you know. He would want her to be able to accept herself and be proud of who she is. You're a human being. You should love yourself. You should be proud of who you are. You should accept yourself, because if you do all those things, you could finally be really happy with yourself, you know? And that's what everyone wants to be, a happy person.
It's everyone's responsibility to take a stand against sexism, not just women. But Cao, what if you don't know how?
Gao Nu Vang has also been frustrated by this. In our episode about racism, she told us how it took her a while to speak up to someone who is bullying her. And Gao Nu says no one has taught her how to confront people who are being racist.
The person who is the victim, that person doesn't know what to do at that moment, because you either don't want to deal with it because it's not the right timing and it's not the right setting to be able to address that you're being racist, or maybe it's because that they're not well educated enough in how to deal with these racist comments and slurs to them. Because we did not grow up knowing how to tell someone that what they are saying to them is not okay. We are only taught that this is racism. This is how racism starts. This is how racism spreads. We have not been taught well enough how to prevent it and to call out the person for being a racist person, even if they don't care.
So if you were to be in a situation where you're in a white classroom, because majority, I'm pretty sure, is a white teacher and white students, and you're the only, like, you and a couple of friends that are people of color, and you're in a situation where you guys talk about racism. and they say some things that are like racist, how would you handle that situation, or how would you feel in that kind of situation?
Well, I took an ethnic lit class, and we have different units that talks about certain types of races. And in that class, there was, of course, majority of white kids. There's white kids, there's a white teacher. There was only, in total, 4 to 5 people of ethnic color. I remember we were talking about racism. We had circle time. It was really hard to try to get the white people to understand that, like, that racism can be prevented. They're always like, it really can't be prevented because it's such a big thing. And I remember telling the whole group that the biggest reason why racism has started was because of white people. Because they came to America and they colonized the Native Americans, and they took over the land, and they taught them that what they're doing was wrong. They need to be more European, you know. They need to be Christian because that's their religion, and that's not the right ways. But it's like they're so different from each other, you know, and they don't understand that. And so we were talking about it, and so my kid was like, but that, I mean, it's different now. Racism comes from other different types of things. And I was just like, what? I was like, you think it's different? Okay, because racism can come from other types of races and ethnicities as well. But I was just telling to the group, the problem started with you. And only you are the solution, but you're not willing to do anything about it.
In Gao Nu's class, she was forced to become the teacher when her classmates only wanted to learn about racism, but not about how to fix it.
High schools aren't the only places where students of color can feel like their perspectives isn't included or valued. Linda Hsiong is a student at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. She recently took action on campus when UWL decided to drop Hmong language classes.
She says giving students the chance to learn the Hmong language in school can help them better understand their identity.
I feel like I have a good sense of my Hmong identity. I feel like I know what I need to learn to have a better sense of my identity. And I understand that, like, that's something I need to work on. So, but I do have a good sense of my identity. I think that took me a while. Actually, like, a long while. Like, it wasn't until after high school that I finally, like, oh, your Hmong identity is, like, really important to you, right? And we never ever, like, learn about ourselves in school. And so I feel like, I don't know, it took me a while, right? But I think that other Hmong students or other Hmong kids can relate to what I went through, right? K through 12 education, like, we don't ever get a chance to learn about ourselves. And when we're in college, like, there are classes out there, awesome, great, let's take it, let's do it and learn about ourselves for, like, you know, many of us, it's like the first time that we're, like, learning Hmong, like, we're learning how to speak Hmong, we're learning about our Hmong history. I know how important our Hmong language class is to us. I think, like, I know how important, like, Hmong education, any, like, like, how important that is to Hmong students and the development of their own identity, right? And I know that a lot of students seek that, right? We're always looking to learn about ourselves, right? And so, in the back of my mind, like, I really thought about myself included, right? But, like, all the Hmong students coming to the university, all the Hmong students that I work with, right? All the Hmong students that I know, like, not even in college, right? Middle school, high school. And having, like, the youth show up, having, like, for all our stuff, like, having youth show up, community members, like, elders, and then other Hmong students, right? I think, like, that was the biggest thing. And I was, like, afraid, right? But, like, after, like, we do everything and we, like, do the rally, we send out emails and stuff like that, I feel good about it, right? I feel good that we did something. I feel good. And then our support, I think, with this small group that we did work, I work with, I think our support was each other, right? And then also knowing that other Hmong students were on board. And then also knowing that other students of color were on board supporting us, right? Because they see how they also see how important it is for us and why the reasons why we're fighting for this. There wasn't a lot among students who were really wanting to be part of the conversation. And I know, I totally understand, right, that when these things come up, like, it's instinct for us to just sit back, right? Because what else can we do? We can fight, and at the end of the day, like, what always happens is that our voices are still silenced, right? And so from that, a lot of us, even myself, right, a lot of times, like, we didn't want, no longer wanted to fight because we felt like, at the end, but like, I think it's important to always remind ourselves that we can do it, right? And we should do it, right? And it sucks that like students have to do it, right? Because our administrators, faculty and staff, whoever, like the higher ups, they're paid to do this for us, right? But they're not listening to us and they're not really like thinking about us. And so, yeah, it sucks that we have to do it, but we have to do it because if you want, like, you want to order fair.
I can relate to the students who didn't want to stand up to the university or were afraid to speak out. But activism doesn't have to be about something as complicated as university classes.
And it is something you can learn and get better at. Let's hear from Song Hyung. She's been an activist for over 20 years and is the current executive director of Geshia Incorporated, a Hmong community center.
I've always noticed that there were always things that were really wrong with the world that I lived in. I didn't really know how to like go about in expressing that until in high school when one of our kids were locked outside of the school during a dance, and so all the other kids could go in, but she couldn't go back in because she was Hmong, and I was really, really upset about it. And so then I made a big deal out of it and got all these people and talked to people, and they were really supportive of it. And I was like, whoa, okay, so I'm just not the only person who thought that this was really messed up. And I felt really supported by like people in positions of power, who then talk to the principal and then talk to the staff that didn't allow this Hmong girl to go back into the dance. And so, and then they got back to me and was like, oh, we resolved it. She was very sorry that this happened and she didn't realize that she was, you know, being discriminatory and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, I've always known that like things were unfair, and but I really didn't know how to like put that into action, how to express it until that incident in high school, when I was like, oh, and I felt really empowered, like, oh, there is a group of people that are really socially conscious about this stuff, and, you know, all I need to do is speak up, and people would then also speak up. So I think Alice Walker said something about, like, activism is the debt that I pay for living on this earth. And so I always feel like I have a debt to pay for being alive, and for taking part in this and making society a better place. If we're alive and we're here for some reason, then like one of those reasons is to make the world a better place. And so activism is like our responsibility in making the world a better place. Most people, when it comes to issues of like justice, they have a strong feeling one way or another. And I think people feel really isolated because sometimes they feel like they're the only ones that feel that way, or in their group of friends, they are the only ones that feel that way. And I think that like young people need to know that there are people out there doing this type of work and that you just need to find them. And so in my time, it was really hard because we don't have social media, we don't have anything. And so you have to be physically there to learn, otherwise you don't have access to things. But I think in this day and age, young people have like limitless amount of like knowledge and access to things at their fingertips. And so I think that the one way you can participate is by being vocal, finding an issue that you're passionate about, whether it be gender, racial, economic, whatever. And find a group of people that are working on those issues and join them.
It's our responsibility to speak up. And Song reminds us that we all know what justice looks like.
So get out there, talk to people, and make your communities better. Thanks for listening to Hmong Bay's Building Awareness and Empowerment.
Check out previous episodes of our podcast where we tackle historical trauma, assimilation, sexism, and racism.
We'd like to thank all of the people who shared their stories with us.
We'd also like to thank NABUSE Wisconsin and the BMPP Giving Circle for their financial support.
And lastly, we'd like to thank Jishi Incorporated and Hope Kerwin of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Xinjin duo.
We'd like to dedicate this episode in the memory of Gao Jervang, a resilient Hmong woman.
She used her voice and her perspective to empower other Hmong women and to help guide Hmong Bays on their journey.
All right, one, two, three.
Hmong Bay Bays!